Hi, members. Welcome. We're here for our second episode of Braystone Unscripted. Today's episode is going to be about behind the scenes at the Region's Tradition. And before we get into that great episode, I wanted to talk to you about the ticket package for the members. It's going to be, the deadline is the 15th for the discount, 15th of April. And then after that, it'll go from $300 to $350, the original price. So please get out there and get those tickets. You're going to have a great time. We have some incredible things planned for you that's a little bit different this year. One is the ticket package comes with member-only hats. Will be part of your ticket package. The other thing that I'd like to share with you is we're going to have live music on Wednesday during golf. They're encouraging us to make it more lively and fun, and since it's not the official competition, we're going to have live music on the number 9 VIP tent for the members. And we're also going to have a DJ all day before the band starts on Wednesday. Next up is our lineup for the bands. On Wednesday, we have Rhinestone Revival, great country band that we're looking forward to having here. And then on Thursday, we have Get Sideways, incredible rock band that, yes, I will share with you that I saw them at Sky Bar at Auburn with my son. So they are a top-notch, fun band to have. On Friday, we have our favorite band ever that we bring back every year on Friday, which is 8 South. From Nashville, so we're excited to have them back. And then on Saturday, we have a yacht rock band named Nashville Yacht Club. And so we're excited to have a really good blend of different bands and different genres for you to enjoy throughout the week. And on Sunday, we'll end up with our champagne toast with the champion, and we'll have a DJ until the end of that time. So a lot of good stuff planned, but also we're going to change up all the food and beverage options for you this year. Instead of just having the one buffet line, we're going to actually have food stations throughout the patio, on the 91 patio, and indoors as well. Chef Mark is working on some great menus where we'll actually be cooking things live out there. So there'll be basically high-end individual concession stands, and we'll still have a grab-and-go area for salads and some sandwich wraps, things like that. So we're really stepping up our game this year. I hope you'll join us. We're going to have a lot of fun. Today, our topic is going to be behind the scenes at the Region's Tradition. So we're super excited to have our guests here. We got Steve Smith, Director of Golf, Jason Miller, Director of Golf Maintenance, and we have George Shaw, who's the Tournament Director for the Region's Tradition. So welcome, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for that.
Smitty, we're going to kick it off with you, buddy. Can you share with the members a little bit about what the difference is like today versus back when it was the Runos Memorial Classic?
Wow. Talk about a difference. So field's about the same. I think we had about 78 to 81 players back then. But the big thing is that it's being that it's the tradition, it's a major championship now. So mainly guys walking with caddies, but that's changing a little bit on the last year. But the cool thing was it's one of the majors, so we get a phenomenal field that plays in this event. Still about the same size as far as the number of players, but it's pretty interesting. We have a lot of guys that have major champions that are out there playing, winning the Masters and stuff in the past. So it's pretty exciting when it comes to that part of it. The fanfare obviously is a lot bigger too. I think we used to have a lot of people at the 18th green and maybe a little something at the 9th green. But now there's a ton of folks that are around because there's so much more to it. You know, with the concert that they have on Saturday night, we never used to have anything like that. I might have had a trick shot show or something like that back in the day, but I don't remember if that was the case. Probably the thing that stands out to me that's the biggest difference, and it's really small, but it's the caddies that we have are so much more intense now. Back then, it was just a bunch of guys riding in a car together and going from place to place and just kind of fending for themselves. And they do a really good job of taking care of the caddies out there. And a pretty likable group of guys. They have their ideas of what we need to do to make it perfect, but it's pretty exciting, and it's neat to see the guys up right up close. And they're probably some of the biggest things for us. The range is a little bit more of a exciting venue. We used to have a set of bleachers on the range. Now we have the whole thing with Coke and everything going on down there, so it's pretty special stuff.
He's awesome. Yeah, the caddies definitely, they consider themselves part of they're like competitors. They're like, you know, when you know, how'd your player do? They always say, well, we shot 500 or we shot 600. Of course, if it's five over, it's a he shot five over. But they do, you know, they do consider themselves part of the competition. And those caddies, most of them have come from the PGA Tour, and so they expect, you know, they expect to be treated really well. And we're starting to do that. The club is going to cater the caddies' food for the first time this year, which will be a big upgrade. We sent those menus to the tour. They said that'll be the best caddy menu they've ever had. So
there you go.
They'll be happy this year. So anyway, that is true about the caddies.
That's cool.
Fantastic. Jason, so I know if I'm a member out here, you see those conditions are so perfect that week, and you do a great job all year, you and your team. But if I'm a member watching it or you see it on TV, they're probably thinking, why can't I have that all the time? What goes into it that's so different for you and your team than just the regular day-to-day?
I think the easy answer is resources. You know, you have more than twice the staff, whereas typically in the summer, we'll max out at like 22 with crew and superintendents and technicians. Whereas in for the event with volunteers, our size will range, you know, 40, we're in a 45 to 50 person per shift. So obviously you can do a lot more. You can dial in the details a lot more and you can kind of stay there. You know, increase your inputs on greens. You know, you're not just mowing it or rolling in the morning. You're also doing that in the afternoon as well. So you maintain green speed a lot easier. And some of that sustainability too. Could you do it, you know, 365 days a year? No, from a health standpoint, you couldn't. But so yeah, resources and sustainability are the big things there.
How many volunteers do you bring in, and like, where do they come from?
We typically have 45 to 50 volunteers, you know, whether it's, you know, our fellow superintendents, assistant superintendents, some of our vendors, students, some third grad students out there. And also we have several former employees that come back to help, which is always nice to see those guys. And from that group, we usually have over 200 shifts volunteered.
Wow.
So that really makes it a lot easier to provide the conditions that we do, and couldn't do it without them.
How about the equipment? You must need more equipment for them.
Absolutely.
How does that come in?
We have three of our equipment vendors that provide us liner equipment for the week, extra mowers, extra people movers. Obviously, you have twice as many people, so you need a lot more people movers. So that's the big thing there. And those guys are very gracious and very supportive.
Yeah. What's the shift like for your team that week?
Depends on the weather. we run split shifts all week. I mean, obviously we're here very early to get out in front prepared, and then we have a little lull during the day while they're playing, and then we're back at it in the afternoon. And then you bring weather to the equation, and things can get pretty get some pretty long days.
You got a few cots in the break room.
We did have some cots in the break room. And they're well utilized throughout the event. So,
yes. Well, I'll say the players, they rave about the greens. You know, the whole course, but, you know, the players really care about the greens more than anything. And more than one of them told me last year they were perfect. So, can't be any better. Okay. So, that's what they care about.
Well, we'll try and make them a little better.
Yeah, I don't know how you can get better than perfect, but.
Thank you. George, we know your job is much more than just this tournament with Eventive, but. This has got to be a planning that starts pretty quickly after the tournament.
Yeah, it's we take a few weeks to close the tournament, and then we start working on the next year's tournament. You know, this tournament was what got our company started. So it's a home game for us. It's Ronnie Bruno and Gene Holman, they started the event in the early 90s, and it got bigger and bigger, and the tour came back to them and said, you guys should really look at running more of these events. So it sort of snowballed. So we have, you know, we manage events all over now, not just golf, but mostly golf's probably half of our business. But this is the one that got us started, and it's, you know, it's our hometown. So it's more important to us, because we're in the community. But yeah, we'll start selling for the 26th tournament as soon as this one's over. And it does. That's the most challenging thing for us, is we have to raise the revenue. So it's a year round. We have a team of five that really work on it. About 85% of their time is on the tournament. And once you raise the revenue, you hit your goals, you can sort of take a breath, because that's the hardest part. The part you can't really control, especially with crazy things happening in the economy. You can't always control it. So, but we're in pretty good shape for this year. Everything is on track. It's a year-round endeavor.
How about with, we're sitting here today and there's nothing built, and I know you have a plan and it'll get done, but if you're a member out here playing in the next few days, what's going to go into it?
Yeah, so we have two primary companies that build all of our infrastructure. It's the same group that builds the waste management event, the big one out in Phoenix. They probably do 75% of the tournaments on the PGA Tour. In fact, we have the foreman, the project managers come from Phoenix here. So this is a little smaller than Phoenix, obviously, but there's one company that builds all the subflooring, all the scaffolding, and then one company comes behind them and builds the tents on top of it, which makes it for a shorter, condensed build. Maybe you probably remember not too long ago, it was a 2.5 month build, and because it was one company doing it all. So they come in, they're starting next week, which is the 16th. So you'll start seeing scaffolding going up. Some of our floors are, 15 feet in the air. So it takes a while, but they'll get it done. It's about a 4-week build now, which is good because we impact the golf course a little bit less.
It's great for us.
Yeah.
It gives us a better chance to keep grass alive underneath.
That's one of those two companies. Those are two of about 100 that come in, but we have about 110 different contractors or vendors. I mean, it's Portalettes, it's the sign company. You don't have to really think much about signs, but we have 1,600 signs we produce. And this year we have a slightly new logo, so that's 1,600 new signs. We can't reuse the ones from last year. It's the golf cart company. I think we bring in more golf carts for this event than we do for the U.S. Senior Open, which is a really big event. It's a couple hundred, in addition to the ones we use that you guys have.
Yeah.
But it's, the generators and the HVAC units and the furniture. It's the landscapers that do the flowers and the tents. It's just, there's a long list of different groups we have a production schedule, and it sort of starts next week. And as we get a little bit closer, it starts to build up and up and up. And ideally, but it's all done on Friday of advance week. It never really happens that way, but that's what we aim for. Because we don't open to the public until Wednesday, but we have pro-ams on Monday. We have players arriving. We have volunteers here. We sort of consider Monday, that's our start. We want to be ready. We want to, that's when we begin. But it's always a scramble at the end. We can't, it's not like a home construction project. You can't just push deadlines. Like when the cameras start rolling, they're rolling. So you have to be ready. So sometimes we have to call the tent company. They have to bring in additional crews if they're behind. And we have a system for tracking if they're behind, and they build in weather days, but it's always a little bit stressful this last 2 weeks when everything's coming together.
That's a lot to handle. Smitty, when you, all the years you've been interacting with the players, you have any stories that come to mind that you want to share with the members that's kind of fun or special or?
Well, there's a couple that you probably can't tell. But, nothing really stands out other than the uniqueness of some of the characters. You see them on TV and you get that, removed part of them. But then when they come walking up close, and honestly, they're just like you and me, they talk about the same things, what they had for dinner last night and, the ailments they've got and how they're going to play this week, and they get upset about their rounds and everything. I guess the big thing is just for their living. It's, how they make a living. So, the olden days, it was more interesting when it was the Brunos. The crowd that played then, it was pretty unique from the standpoint. Those guys, they really kind of started it, the tour, and got it going. So they were kind of the lifeblood of that part of it. So they had a lot of very interesting stories. I can remember somebody talking about how they were, sometimes they weren't winning much, and they'd have to, if they were playing a course that had like an apple orchard or something to the right, they'd hit their ball out of bounds so they could go over and get some apples and put them in their golf bag. But the nice thing about it is the guys are very, very nice. I can't tell you how many guys, other than maybe somebody had a bad round or something like that, was frustrated, but they take real good care of us and treat us well. So it's kind of nice to be around them.
That's great. Jason, can you share with the viewers about the vendors and their participation?
Participation's huge because for us, like I said earlier, we count on the volunteers. We can't do it without them. So volunteers really step up. We have a partnership program where they contribute to so that we can make the staff and volunteer experience a great one, and they come back next year. So, you know, they contribute a lot of money. I think last year we raised over $25,000 that they had donated to us, and it goes to things like, you know, supplementing the uniforms, providing meals, snacks and drinks for the guys while they're here, hotels for out-of-town volunteers, swag. You know, you got a lot of swag, got to give them some good stuff, want them to come back. Those guys are crucial to us as far as making the experience great and keeping people coming back year after year.
You got NIL money for that?
Working on it.
George, can you tell the members what's going to be different this year?
Yeah, we have a couple new things this year. Primarily, there's going to be a really large tent in the Spectator Village called the Coca-Cola Pavilion, which will be open to anyone. You don't need any kind of credential to get in. It'll have a swing simulator, and I think there's you can go in and take a couple shots, and I think there's prizes. It'll be like 17 at Sawgrass one day, I think number 12 at Augusta one day, like fun par threes. So there's a swing simulator. There's a big LED board in there that will be playing the PGA Championship, because we are opposite of the PGA Championship this year, which is unique. We had the option of going against the PGA Championship or Mother's Day, and we agreed that Mother's Day was just, it hurt us too much on that Sunday. But we're more of a community event, so I don't think we'll lose too many people, but we'll be showing the PGA Championship on a big jumbo board in that tent. We'll have a stage for that concert on Saturday. I think maybe another one early in the week. Merchandise will be in there. We'll have several cocktail bars. So it'll be soft seating. So it'll be an area where if you want to go to one of the food trucks, get something to eat and a beer, you can go in and sit under the tent. We'll also have events in there each afternoon. There's a ladies' long drive contest in there on, I think, Thursday. So that's one, you know, kind of big activation that people will I think people will notice. It's like a 6,000 square feet tent.
Hi.
Square foot tent. So that's probably the biggest thing. We're adding a lot more buses. We're trying to make it where there's zero waits. So when you leave, there's not a wait. Last year, I think there was an accident on 119, and that the buses got stuck on Wednesday. So we had a little bit of a line issue on Wednesday, but more buses. We're just trying to make it more fan friendly in general. More cocktail options, more food options, more things to do, no matter what your interest. We really focus on marketing the three kind of groups: the core golf fans, the people who watch golf. You know, those people are the easiest ones to get out here because they want to come see golf. Then we have, you know, the family. We try to market to families. It's a very affordable way to come out and watch. Kids get in free, and then the social younger crowd, the crowd you might see at, you know, Avondale Brewery on a weekend. People who like to come out and, I guess, day drink. It's because Birmingham doesn't really have pro sports teams. We don't really have, so this is like one of the big events, especially it's a nice time of year, you know, spring, it's, you know, right in the middle of spring. And that's why, one reason why the players like it here is a lot of the places they go, we manage a lot of events on this tour. They don't always get the crowds they get here. And because of the tradition here, because of the celebrities, you know, we get, Wednesday was our biggest day last year. Most events don't even open to the public on Wednesday. It doesn't open until the first round of the competition. So that's one reason why the players like it. It's some weeks they go out and there's like 15 people behind the rope line. And here
it's amazing.
Yeah, and the neighborhood, you have so many homes in this neighborhood. A lot of them throw parties, and then those people in those backyard parties walk up. And so it's just, it creates a lot of, it's a really, really good community event. And, you know, everybody really embraced it, whether it's the corporate, you know, corporations, but also we have 1,000 volunteers. And it's hard to get people, they actually pay to volunteer. It seems kind of odd, but, you know, to put them in their shirts and windbreakers and stuff, they actually pay to volunteer, which But getting 1,000 of those, that's a big task, and feeding them and, you know, dressing them. And there's a lot of coordination that goes into that.
All right. That's a lot.
Thank you for that extra week, because it really helps us.
Oh, I know.
With the warm season.
Well, and you might not even need it. It's just been so warm. But, yeah, it does. I mean, you could probably have rough if they would allow you to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they it's a little different. They want to make sure they don't embarrass those last couple, those last 10 players in the field. But, so, yeah, it's
How about commits so far? Any?
Yeah, we you know, Stuart Sink is coming back. Of course, we have Doug Barron, the defending champion. But Ernie Ells, you know, it's most of all the players. Stricker is dealing with a back injury. So he's, we're not sure about Stricker. And then Furyk's getting a hip redone, so we're not sure about, we're pretty sure he's not going to be here. But, you know, Angel Cabrera will be a new player. He won last week. He's actually playing in the Masters right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we have 5 or 6 players that are over playing in the Masters this week. Several did okay. I mean, Lochner, who's like, I think 7 years old, shot like 1 over. I mean, it shows you that the talent on the Champions Tour is not that far removed from the PGA Tour. I mean, several of those guys would probably make the cut.
Mm-hmm.
I say that, those guys will all shoot 80 today. But, but they, it's... But Angel Cabrera will be a big name. And then on the celebrity front, a lot of the same celebrities. Jamie Johnson, who's like the outlaw country guy, he'll be a new pro-am participant. Riley Green was a big one last year. Nate Oates will be here this year. I don't think he's been here for a couple of years. Saban will be back. That's the most important, at least for the crowds. Riley Green, I think, actually had bigger crowds than Saban, mostly female followers.
He's there as a surprise.
Yeah, and then Charles Barkley, hopefully he'll make it onto the plane this year. He was a no-show last year, but he's promised he'll be back this year. So Bo Jackson will be back. So good celebrity field. And, you know, the celebrity portion of the Pro-Am is really what helped the event become so big. It was almost like when they were first starting this event, it almost validated the event. Like, so people might not be able to come out on Wednesday, but they said, oh, you know, Ken Stabler's playing in it, Gene Stallings is playing in it, you know, let's go check it out on the weekend. It was almost like an endorsement of the event when you have those celebrities, and it still remains. You know, it's, people see that, they see on the news that Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer and Charles Barkley were out here playing, and it's just like a, it's like an endorsement, or, you know, it's a validation. People say, well, let's go check it out on the weekend. So the celebrity aspect is very important to the event.
I was listening to Webb Simpson's podcast this morning, and Zach Johnson was the guest host. And I guess he and Ben Crane next year, they'll both be 50. And they were talking about it, over looking forward to get out on the team.
You know who else will be 50 next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tiger turns 50 in December. Now, that's the reason they changed their golf cart rule. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to change it his first year of eligibility to make it look. He has said if he's healthy, he's going to play Champions Tour events. That's just a big if.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every time you turn around, he's got some new surgery. But if he were to play, we would have to rethink our parking and rethink. We have to rethink some things.
A lot of things,
which would be a good problem to have.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys being with me today. Before we wrap up, everybody give me your Masters pick.
Cool. I'm going to go way out there. I'm going with Scottie Scheffler.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say Scheffler, too.
Don't step too far out on the limb.
Actually, you know what? I'd love to see Rory win, because I think it'd be pretty special, you know. Yeah. But for some reason, I think Scottie's got it.
I agree. That's what I picked in my Calcutta.
Who you got, Jason?
You don't like Rory, I'll take him.
I'm going to go sleeper. Ready? Shane Lowry.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
He's ready.
Yes,
should we put some money in the pocket?
Yeah. This is all, we're just playing for magic.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being with me today. And hopefully the members got some fun insight on what goes into making this tournament so great. We're looking forward to it. See you all in a month.
Thank you.